Welcome to the Danny Picard Show, Thursday, November 19th, 2015. Broadcasting from the Beantown Athletics Studio in Dorchester, Massachusetts. Beantown Athletics is the only in-house union screen printer in Boston, specializing in custom uniforms and business apparel, and now home of an on-the-spot embroidery service. Also home of the best skate shopping in New England. So grab your skates, swing by the shop on Granite Ave in Dorchester. There is plenty of parking out back, or give them a call for more information on all your screen printing and embroidery needs. 617-282-4181. That's 617-282-4181. Or go to BeantownAthletics.com right now and make sure you tell them I sent you. So, huge show for you today, because earlier in this very studio here at Beantown Athletics, I was joined by Dominic Cruz, UFC bantamweight Dominic Cruz. He is fighting on January 17th for the UFC bantamweight championship. He's the number one contender. He will go up against the current champ, TJ Dillashaw. This will happen right here in Boston on Sunday, January 17th at the TD Garden. Tickets go on sale for this event tomorrow, November 20th, Friday, November 20th, tickets available at the TD Garden box office, also at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 1-800-745-3000. That's 1-800-745-3000. And we had an interesting conversation earlier today here at Beantown Athletics, and I'll play that conversation for you in just a moment. To begin the show here, but a couple of the things we talked about, his upcoming fight. We talked about how he's battled back from injury several times, because Dominic Cruz never really lost the title. He had to hand up, he had to hand over the title because of several injuries. And now here is TJ Dillashaw, the champion, and Dominic Cruz gets the title shot that is well-deserved. And I asked him about this and future plans for Dominic Cruz after this fight. Also asked him about the Ronda Rousey fight over the weekend and a couple other things that aren't even UFC related. So great stuff from Dominic Cruz today joining me in studio. Here's the conversation with him, and stick around afterwards, because I do have plenty of thoughts on some things that are going on in the NFL. Of course, Thursday Night Football tonight, as week number 11 in the National Football League officially begins this evening. Tennessee in Jacksonville, terrible game, but at least football and week 11 kicks off tonight. And some NBA thoughts as the Celtics lost to the Dallas Mavericks last night here in Boston. And the Bruins play tonight against the Minnesota Wild. And of course, Major League Baseball is now giving out the awards for their regular season. They gave out the Cy Young Awards yesterday. They'll give out the MVPs for the American League and the National League later today. So my thoughts on that and more to close out the show. But right now, here is my conversation with UFC's Dominic Cruz. Enjoy, and stick around afterwards. All right, joining me in studio today on the Danny Picard Show is none other than UFC bantamweight and number one contender for the UFC Bantamweight Championship, Dominic Cruz. Dom, thanks for joining me today.
What's going on, Captain?
You brought the crew, too.
Yeah, I got the little roll dogs here with me.
And the first thing you said was you were wondering what my last name was.
Yeah.
Because you're a big Star Trek fan. Well, and people do call me Captain Picard sometimes.
I was trying to figure out if it was Picard with a W or an R. I just wanted to make sure it was correct, because Captain Picard's kind of my hero.
Yeah.
You know, I love Star Trek.
See, I'm not a big Star Trek guy, so I'm not judging, but I don't usually like when people call me Captain Picard, because I'm not a big Star Trek fan. But we do have the little figurine here in the studio.
Have you ever seen it? Ever?
I mean, I've seen it.
Listen, Captain Picard's a problem solver, man. You need to embrace the role.
I guess.
You should.
I mean, most likely not going to do that. Where could I find it these days? Where could I watch Star Trek?
There's a channel that constantly plays. I think it's BBC. You can watch it.
And that's where you watch it?
Oh, yeah. Constant reruns.
That's your go-to number one show?
Definitely.
Star Trek.
Not go-to, but it's definitely up there. I mean, I grew up watching it because I had like four channels. And UPN 18 in Arizona. And that like is one of the only shows I had on my TV. I didn't have cable or nothing. So I just was religiously watching Star Trek.
No kidding.
Yeah.
All right. So you did not think you were coming to talk to a Picard today?
No, I had no clue. I mean, I'm delighted.
Yeah. I mean, you've been going, making your rounds the last couple of days in Boston. Yes. And yesterday I saw you, you did a couple interviews sitting next to the guy that you're going to fight, TJ Dillashaw.
Yeah, I mean, you get used to that, though. UFC's always cramming us in little areas and making us talk and stuff, so I was ready for
it.
He's
not here today.
No, he's
not. At least in this studio setting. But I can't even really imagine what that's like, because I try to put myself in your shoes, and I'm thinking, I'm going to fight this guy in January for a championship. Yep. I do not want to be doing an interview sitting right next to him.
No, I mean, I enjoy it.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I enjoy it. It's
Is there
fun.
A hatred there at all?
Nah, hate. Wait, I keep saying this to everybody. It's like, I don't hate anybody. There's not one person in this world that I hate, because hating is just taken from yourself. It's wasted energy. I try to explain that when you hate somebody, you're just wasting your own energy on them. It's useless. So I more just enjoy the moment of embarrassing him. It's just fun.
So what do you think? Do you think he feels the same way?
No, I'm pretty sure he hates me now.
Oh, really? Because of some things that you've said to him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean, he says, like, he has no ill will. He understands all, you know, I'm good at talking and this and that. But, I mean, he just can't talk, so it's got to suck for him.
And you're good on the mic.
I don't know if I go that far. I'm just being myself. This is, you know, I think that it's just different. Like, if you're either comfortable being yourself or you're trying to portray something that everybody wants you to be. And I'm comfortable being myself.
And you have actually been lately in the media, kind of, right? Fox Sports 1, an analyst for
Correct.
Them?
Correct. Yeah.
What's
yeah.
that been like?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, I love Fox. Fox takes care of me. I got a job with them. I can move on and break down fights with them, you know, for my future. So it's good to be working with them. They treat their employees great. And, you know, without Fox, the UFC wouldn't be where it's at. Mm. Like, plain and simple. When I was fighting, we didn't have Fox. It was Versus still. And then they got rid of Versus and finally moved to Fox. And I was hurt already after that happened. So I didn't get to take advantage of the Fox platform. And now with Fox, the sport has exploded. I mean, it's on every channel. You can't flip through the channels without seeing a UFC embedded, a UFC fight somewhere. Reruns, whatever it might be. And it's just Fox is pretty much what has made UFC what it is today.
Your championship fight, January 17th. It is a Sunday. That is on Fox Sports 1. It's right here in Boston at the TD Garden. Again, January 17th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, right?
Yep.
November 20th. Friday, November 20th. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. The TD Garden box office. You can also get them at Ticketmaster.com or by calling 1-800-745-3000. What do you think of Boston? You're going to be here in a couple months, so what do you think of it right now?
Yeah, I have no issues with it. I mean, the people out here, I feel like I relate with them. I've said that on a few interviews. You can kind of feel the smart ass, for lack of a better term, in everybody out here, and I can appreciate that.
I get that right away. When I ask you if your headphones work, and you'd say, kept asking, what? Huh? Huh? They have a button on the side, and I just needed to needed to see if they were working.
You went for it, man.
Yeah,
you're...
I did. I went for it. But you know, here's one way you can't relate. And I know you used to play football, because I was looking up your background. That's how you got the nickname, the Dominator,
That's
right?
It.
High school football, you were a linebacker.
I was.
So
terrible.
One way that me and you can't relate is that, are you a Chargers fan? You're from San Diego?
Yes.
Okay,
like
the Chargers are 2-7,
yeah,
and
like
the Patriots are undefeated.
Yeah, I can't really.
We can't relate to that.
You're right. You know, that is a good way to bash on me, is with the sports and the football. The Chargers aren't doing very well. Hopefully I can bring the belt back, and maybe I'll let the Chargers borrow it, because that's probably the closest they're going to get to it right now.
But you are a Chargers fan. That is your team?
I wouldn't say that I have like a one particular team, because I love watching football.
Mm-hmm.
I like the athletes. I like watching some of the best athletes in the world compete. Football, if you watch it and you break it down, it moves in a lot of similar lines and parallel. It has a lot of parallels to mixed martial arts. If you look at the movements and the actions of the running backs and the quarterbacks, everything's on a vertical plane. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I watch it for that reason. But I would say that if I had to pick a team, it'd be the Cardinals or the Chargers. I'm from Arizona. That's where I was raised, but I was born in San Diego, and now I live in San Diego. And Chargers have been great to me. I mean, they give me gear when I need it. I get to go to the games. It's pretty cool.
Right, so you got to be nice to them right now. They might move to L.A., right?
Yeah,
they're going to split a stadium.
That's
with...
another thing. It's sad, because I was there at the game when the Raiders played the Chargers.
Yeah.
I was at that game, and I was just like, oh, my gosh. It was rough. Raiders fans were killing everybody.
Raiders are actually not bad. I mean,
they're not.
They might make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, it was a sad thing, because everybody knew that game kind of was like, all right, is San Diego going to go to L.A. or not? And then everybody's like, yeah, you guys are moving to L.A. You know what I mean? All the Raiders fans were going nuts.
Yeah. I feel bad, actually, for Chargers fans. But, I mean, that's what happens. They're looking to put teams in L.A. And the pictures of the new stadium look pretty sick, too, though.
Yeah, the thing is, I think the Chargers just got to be willing to throw more money at the roster. Plain and simple, you got to put some money in to compete with these high level teams. These other teams are putting a lot of money into it, and if you're not going to put money into the team, I mean, how do you recruit good high level guys?
Mm-hmm. So, tell me about what the last 4 or 5 years have been like for you, because obviously you've never lost the belt. Right? I mean, they had to make the interim champion, and then you got hurt again, and you were out from, what, 2011 to 2014?
Something like that. I stopped keeping track.
What has this last 4 or 5 years been like for you?
It's been hard, man. I mean, the good thing about it is you learn to take ridicule very easily. Like, when you're out as much as I've been out and you've been hurt, you know, it's more about quality over quantity at this point. So... the good thing is I had a lot of fights in a short period of time. You know, I got up to 20-1, and a lot of guys don't even have 20 fights. So,
sure.
I got the experience I needed. I did a lot of rounds in those title fights, which gave me a ton of experience at the highest level against the highest competition in the world. So I have the rounds, I have the experience I need, regardless of the fact that I've been out a long time. Being out a long time has actually kind of helped me because I've been able to rehab my body from all those title fights I had. When you're doing 4 title fights back to back and you go the distance on all of them, that's a lot of damage because the camp alone is, you know, 8 to 10 weeks, and you're taking damage in camp, sparring 2 to 3 times a week, wrestling 2 to 3 times a week live, jiu-jitsu, your arms are getting wrenched. I mean, just it puts a beating on your body, and the camp is the issue. The fights are the easy part. So to go out there and have a good fight and be able to go 25 minutes and not look tired, I mean, that takes hell in the training sessions leading up to those fights. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to rehab my body. My elbows are feeling good. My knees are feeling great. The rest of my body, I didn't take a lot of damage to my brain or my head over this past few years. So that I feel like that's all going to play in my advantage coming in the near future now that my body's working for me.
Speaking with UFC bantamweight Dominic Cruz joins me in studio today on the Danny Picard Show. And you mentioned not a lot of guys get to 20-1. Not a lot of guys will come back from what you're coming back from.
Yeah, I really believe that. That's the hardest part. And you know what? When you go through the surgeries and the stuff that I've gone through and then coming back, fighting, winning, and then being out again for another year, it's pretty heartbreaking, but you do get better at it, unfortunately. You do learn how to deal with the injury and just let go and realize you're hurt and there's nothing you can do about it and live your life anyways without that. So what it taught me is fighting isn't my life. It's just a piece of what I do, tiny piece of what I do. I have tons of things that I can touch other people around me with. I have tons of other facets and skills I can go to, and that makes now fighting a cherry on top in my life instead of something that I have to have and have to do, which is what it was before. I didn't know what I would do without fighting before because I put all my eggs in one basket trying to make a life for myself, trying to become a champion, and then, you know, getting that championship, getting those championships, and then being hurt, I learned to live a different style of life for the past few years without being a pro fighter. You know what I mean? And that wasn't easy. That was probably the hardest transition for me, was learning who I am outside of fighting, because it just took everything I had to get to that level in the first place. So I didn't really have time to figure out other facets of life when I was training and being a world champion. When I got hurt, I was able to do that.
Mm-hmm. But being a world champion, I mean, that's what you're a fighter for, to become the world champion.
That's why everybody's a
fighter.
Yes,
but you get that opportunity, and then it's just sort of taken away from you, knowing that you never actually lost the belt. I mean, does that piss you off?
No, I can't piss you off, because, you know, the thing is, what good does anger and being mad do for me? Like, how does that solve a problem? How does that fix me? How does that fix the injury? It doesn't. All it does is frustrate you. You might train too early and then get hurt again. So what you do is you just let go. Let go of the things you can't control. Mm. Live a different life. And then, you know what? When you do that, the fight, the passion is still going to be there. And here I am again, just because I was able to let go. I was able to let go. And it didn't mean that I didn't want it any less. It just meant that I was going to get to come back to it eventually. And I did. And now here I am fighting for the title again.
And this might be a stupid question, but I have something else to ask after. You know, one fight at a time. You have this fight. Let's say you win the belt. I think UFC fans, they want to see you get in the octagon with Uriah Faber one one more time, right? Yeah,
I don't blame him.
I mean, that's the fight that needs to happen,
who
right?
Who doesn't want to see Faber get beat up? Let's be real. Who doesn't want to see that? You know, I mean, well, the thing is, with Faber, he's been close a lot, but not quite there. And I know he hates me for saying that over and over and over, but I mean, the proof is in the pudding. He's just not done it. He hasn't been able to beat people. And then you hear TJ Dillashaw throw him under the bus, supposed to be his brother, his teammate, all this and all that. And just yesterday he's saying, I've been beating up Faber for 4 years and all those teammates there at Alpha Fail. And I'm just like, whoa, man, you just threw all your team under the bus like nothing. And now you're at Elevation. I guess you're the man. So to me, it's just interesting. I feel like Faber should be more mad at TJ than me because I only beat him once. I mean, TJ beat him for 4 years.
But that fight, that's going to happen.
I don't see why it wouldn't. I mean, the thing is, Faber's got to get some wins. He's fighting Francisco Rivero. He's fighting a good wrestler. He's got a tough fight coming up with a good wrestler from Arizona. Frankie Saenz from Arizona is who he's fighting next.
Okay.
And he's got to win that. And that's a tough fight for Frankie because of the submission game of Faber. Faber's got good submissions. And Frankie usually looks to wrestle. So that's why they match that up. But he's got to get some wins. I mean, I plan on going and winning the title. So I guess I go win the title. And what, I just gift him another, a 10th shot at the belt?
Eh. Oh, so if you win the title, you're not going to give him a shot right away?
If? What's all this stuff? And I'm not even worried about looking past nothing. You know, TJ's a formidable champion right now. He's just not as good as me, and I look forward to beating him. That's the guy I want to beat right now. That's the guy who's been talking, saying he's going to knock me out in 2 rounds. That's the guy I got some, you know, something to hand to. I got a beating to serve him.
Yeah, but you kind of just hinted. And, all right, we'll say when. When you win the championship.
Yeah.
You kind of hinted around maybe he has to get a couple more wins to actually get
Listen,
in with you.
I'm
is,
not
that,
a,
is that up to you or
I'm
is that not?
It's not up to me. I'm not opposed to fighting Faber.
He wouldn't I'll be a mandatory
him.
Challenger,
I'll fight him right now in the street. I don't care. Like, I don't care who I fight. The point is the person to fight is TJ Dillashaw, and that's what I'm worried about.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Like, that's the guy to fight. I hear what you're saying. Everybody wants to see me fight him. I don't mind fighting him. Faber wouldn't mind fighting me. So why wouldn't the fight happen if we both don't like each other?
Yeah.
We're both at a high level. We're both in the same weight class. But let it come together. I mean, it'll happen organically, just like me fighting for the title has happened organically, even though I've been out 4 years.
Yeah. Well, you deserve to get the title shot, obviously, because you never actually lost a belt. And the reason I asked that, the mandatory challenger stuff, is because, interesting, in the boxing world, there's something going on right now. Are you going to watch Cotto Canelo this weekend?
Yeah.
Because Cotto just got the belt taken away from him, the WBC.
Yeah, I read about that, and I don't know what
because
the deal is
because
he
didn't want to pay a $300,000 sanction to actually put it on the line against Canelo.
Why do you have to pay money to put it on the line?
Because their side is saying they paid $800,000 to skip fighting Golovkin. Because Golovkin is the mandatory challenger for
You can pay
Cotto.
To not have fights?
So they had to pay to skip that to get the Canelo fight.
That's weird.
So that's why I was asking you, when you get into a situation, you know, when you win a belt,
well, I'm not
mandatory
pay
challenges,
I'm not
you know,
pay.
To skip.
I don't make enough money to be paying people to not fight people. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
If I'm lucky.
You fight, who's next?
Listen, if I'm lucky, I could make 200 grand off this fight. You just talked about him paying $800,000 to not fight
just
somebody.
Just to skip Golovkin.
Come
I mean,
on,
I
man.
Don't blame him. Who wants to fight Golovkin? But
I'll fight Golovkin for $800,000, man. I'm about to make $200,000 and fight a guy with kicks, elbows, knees, takedowns, everything. Come on, man. MMA is where it's at. These are the toughest guys in the world. We're talking about boxing where they're paying guys to skip people. That's how much money they have.
Mm-hmm.
Get out of here. That's, I don't even want to talk about that. You just made me angry talking
so
about
the,
that.
But the boxing... The boxing and the UFC thing. I ask all the UFC guys. I ask the boxing guys, and they all sort of say the same thing. Like, those guys couldn't do what we do, and maybe we couldn't do what they do. What's your thing? We are doing
what they're doing. Yes, they're doing it at a higher, more technical, artistic level in boxing. Yes, they are. But that's because that's all they have to focus on. Let me just focus on boxing. I swear to God I could get to that level, especially my entire life since I'm 10. That's all you did. Okay? Well, I had to wrestle from 10 years old. Until I was 19, start boxing at 19 years old, start kicking at 23 years old, and then start doing judo and jiu-jitsu from then on out. Those are all how many different martial arts that I had to pick up over 10, 11 years of time while they got to focus on one art and one art only. Mm-hmm. Of course they're going to be good at it. Of course. I mean, it's common sense. You put the time in. But I promise you, if they decided to start wrestling, they would embarrass themselves in no matter how many years they tried to do it.
What about when wrestlers, professional wrestlers, come into the octagon? What's your reaction to that? Like CM Punk. I had Doomsday Howard, who you guys said might even be dropping by today because okay. this is his neighborhood in Dorchester. Right. I had him in here a couple weeks ago in the seat you're sitting in. I asked him about CM Punk, and he said he wants to fight him, basically called him out. He wants to fight with CM Punk. But how do you feel about WWE guys thinking they can get into the octagon and be successful? How do you feel about that transition those guys try to make?
It doesn't like that. None of it bothers me. People who think they can transition and cross over, what's the problem with that? That's the beautiful thing about the sport is, okay, we'll call WWF or WWE pro wrestling a different type of martial art. Let's call it that. You've been doing it for how long? We'll call it a martial art.
Mm.
How will that be useful in a fight? That's the question. Let's find out with CM Punk. Why not? Why not? He's got the fan base. He's going to put people in the seats more than pretty much most fighters. And that's why people are calling him out, because he's a money fight. Because if he brings all the fans and you get to take his, you get to fight him with those fans, it's like you just come up. It's a win-win for Howard. It's a win-win for any fighter who gets that fight with CM Punk, because chances are it's not going to be that tough of a fight depending on what he's practiced.
So do you think Dana White and Vince McMahon are in cahoots?
Why wouldn't they be?
That's what I say. Why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, if there's money to make, there's money to make. Dana's a businessman, you know. Let's look at it this way. Who's making the money, the fighters, Dana White, or Lorenzo? Dana White and Lorenzo are making the money. Why? Because apparently that's the harder job than fighting. It must be. If they're making the money, promoting fights, building the stage, putting that cage up, getting the arena, talking to the people of each state all over the world, getting sanctioned everywhere, must be harder than going in that cage and fighting. That's the only thing I could think of, because they're the ones making the money, not us.
Yeah, I mean, I say the same thing. I think they'd be crazy. Some people try to tell me, no, it's just coincidence. They got guys going this and that. I say no. The reason you see Ronda Rousey in the ring at WrestleMania is because they have something going, but they'd be stupid if they didn't and try to promote each other. It would make sense not to do it, so I think it's a great business strategy. But, I mean, I can't mention all that and say Ronda Rousey and not get your thoughts on what you saw last weekend in the Rousey home fight, home knocking her out with a kick to the face in the second round. Did you watch that live, first of all? You did?
Yeah, I watched it.
And what was your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, I was pretty shocked at the way it happened, just because Ronda visualized it on Jimmy Fallon, you know, and it just, I look at it from a different perspective as a fighter, that what she spoke, she made happen. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
Was it Jimmy Fallon, or was it, Fallon? Well, yeah,
it was Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
She was on there and she said, she's going to keep the distance, keep the range, frustrate me, and then high kick me in the head. And it's like, whoa, you literally spoke the game plan.
Mm.
You thought it, you epitomized it, you made it real. In your head, right there to millions of people across the world. And that's something that everybody in the world should really look at. Start speaking what you want to happen, because it can happen. If you want something positive to happen, say it. Yes, I'm the champion of the world. Yes, I'm the best 135-pounder on planet Earth. Yes, I'm going to school Silly Dilly on January 17th in Boston at TG Garden. You know what I mean? It's like, why not? Why not say it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I get from that.
I was shocked that Rousey lost the fight. And I guess the way I look at it is, again, from a business perspective, is was that good for business for the UFC? And was it good
Absolutely.
For her? It was.
It was great for business, not good for her. It was great for business in the UFC, because now it's proven that anybody in this sport, once again, can lose. We've seen Chuck Liddell fall. That guy was the man. He still is the man. But we've seen him fall. We've seen Matt Hughes fall. We've seen Gracie fall. We've seen Ronda Rousey fall. Everybody can fall. The only depressing, sad, sickening part to me is the way fans and people are treating her after a fall. Because it's a matter of time that everybody's going to fall in this
sport. What do you mean? What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean the tweets, the memes, she's not what she used to be. Like, just, it's trippy how people turn on you when you lose. Everybody and their mom loved Ronda Rousey. And now they don't.
But there was definitely this cockiness about her that, like you just said, is okay. It's okay to have.
Well, this is the thing. Cocky or confident, I'm going to say there's a fine line between those two things.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that the general public who doesn't fight for a living in a cage will look at something like that and say she's cocky. I'll say she had the confidence she needed to go in there and try to beat a a world champion in several martial arts, kickboxing and boxing. If you don't have that kind of confidence, you're really going to get beat up like she did.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that that's – it wasn't her mind that got her beat up. It was just the style that she was facing. And I think that she does need to pick up some things in her striking, obviously. That was proven. But this is one of those things that you can't just judge Ronda on this fight completely and just say she's not what she was made out to be, in my opinion.
I wanted to see her be, you know, the unbeatable one in UFC. And you know, it was bad for her because now making appearances and everything, I mean, can she even do that with the same mystique?
Fine. I'm going to tell you something. I've lost too. And when I lost, it made me better. There are two things happen when you lose. You either crumble under the pressure and the thought of the loss, or you explode and grow from it. And this is going to really tell you the type of champion that Ronda is, because a champion isn't always the winner. You know, a champion is the guy who can come back from, or female, excuse me, from the worst possible issues, and they can come back and make something out of it. It's adapting. She's got to adapt, and I think that she has the mind to adapt. It's a question of how long is it going to take for that to come together, because that's one of those things that you have nightmares about, what she went through. That's something you never forget, and it'll change you for the rest of your life. It does. It's that effective. Fighting is, you're putting that much on the line when you're going out there to fight in front of millions of people. And that's something nobody in this world will understand, because they're eating popcorn and drinking a beer and screaming nonsense at us. But really, everything in our life is on the line with each fight. I'm literally, when I go out there and fight TJ, I'm fighting for my life. I'm fighting for my livelihood. I'm fighting for my manhood. I'm fighting to give my mom a better home so she doesn't got to live paycheck to paycheck anymore. And 200 grand probably won't do that, but it'll help.
All right, he is Dominic Cruz. UFC Fight Night, Dillashaw versus Cruz will air live on Fox Sports 1 Sunday, January 17th. Coverage begins at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, with prelims beginning at 5:45 Eastern Time on UFC Fight Pass. And again, tickets for UFC Fight Night on Fox Sports 1 January 17th go on sale tomorrow, Friday, November 20th. You can get them at the TD Garden box office, also at Ticketmaster.com, or by calling 1-800-745-3000. That's 1-800-745-3000. Dominic, thanks for coming in today. Thanks to Kim Reng for sitting next to you, bringing you by, bringing the crew in, and wish you the best of luck.
Good luck, Captain Picard.
Great stuff again right there from Dominic Cruz, who will get his much-deserved title shot on Sunday, January 17th. Make sure you get your tickets for this fight at the TD Garden beginning tomorrow, Friday, November 20th. Again, special thanks to Dominic for coming in. Also, special thanks to Kim Reng for making it all happen. And it's funny because right after we stopped recording, you know, we do this show from Beantown Athletics here in Dorchester, and we are in the neighborhood of one John Doomsday Howard, who was in studio here a couple weeks ago talking about his upcoming fight, which is going to be in Vegas. And he heard that Dominic Cruz was in the building, so Doomsday came in, and we were just shooting the shit for a little bit after we stopped recording. Yeah, that's a little humble brag. I gave it to you. But thanks for Doomsday for coming by as well. A pretty cool moment for all the boys here at Beantown Athletics. And, yeah, so we'll get ready for that fight. Special thanks to them for making this happen today. And I will move on to some NFL things, because tonight, Week 11 officially begins. Tennessee Titans in Jacksonville against the Jaguars. This is such a bad game. The Jaguars are 3-point favorites on a nationally televised game. So, and I know it's Thursday night late in the season. I don't think the NFL Network gets the first pick. Right, they don't get the first choice at a game. The game of the week is the Sunday night game on NBC. Then I think the Monday night, right? Don't they get the pick? And then the Sundays, whatever the order is, I believe the Sunday night football game gets first choice. And at least even later in the season, they get to take games from other people. And with that flex schedule, they get to flex some games in. And I believe the game that they have this weekend, Cincinnati in Arizona, I believe they took this game from someone else and flexed it into the Sunday night game. But the point is this, the Thursday night football, they do not get to really pick and choose as much as maybe NBC does. So they're stuck with this Titans and Jaguars game. It's not the best game of the week. It might even be the worst game of the week, but here it is on Thursday Night Football. The Jaguars, a 3-point favorite on national TV tonight. I mean, some people have asked me, what do you want to go with this game? You're going to take Tennessee? You're going to take Jacksonville? And I have no idea. I mean, the Titans are 2-7. The Jaguars are 3-6. I guess mathematically, both teams are still alive for a wild card spot. And I guess if you look at the division that Tennessee's in, with Indy at only 4-5 in first place, technically, you're what, two games out of first place in your division? So you got to say, I guess they're alive. I mean, if you really want to be realistic about it, Tennessee's not going to the playoffs and neither is Jacksonville, right? They're just not. I don't care what happens tonight. I don't care what happens in week 11. Jacksonville, Tennessee are not going to the playoffs. But I would pick Tennessee's pass defense in this one if I had to do anything. Even on the road, they're a 3-point dog. They're going to get points. If I had to make a pick, I would take Tennessee if you put a gun to my head. But don't put a gun to my head. I'll tell you to stay away from this one tonight because both teams are just bad. It could be an ugly game. I don't even know if I'm going to watch, to be honest. I'll probably watch I'll flip back and forth to it, but mostly my priority tonight will be the Bruins. They are hosting the Minnesota Wild. The Bruins are coming off a terrible loss to the San Jose Sharks on Tuesday night, a 5-4 loss at the TD Garden. I'll have most of my attention on this Bruins game. I will watch some of the Thursday night game, but it just isn't a good game, and it's not a good way to kick off week number 11, to have a nationally televised game in which the Jacksonville Jaguars at 3-6 are a 3-point favorite. It's that shows it alone. You look at the spread, you look at the line. That is how ugly of a game that this is tonight on Thursday Night Football. But whatever happens in this game, I will react to it tomorrow. Also, I will give my picks for week number 11 every Friday. I give you 5 games with the spread. I'm not having a great season, but there are some games that really do jump off the page to me here in Week 11 on Sunday, at least. So I'll give you my picks on tomorrow's show, on Friday's podcast. I'm here 5 days a week. You can get it at DannyPicard.com. Also, subscribe to the Danny Picard Show on iTunes. And even if you don't have an iPhone or don't have iTunes, like if you have a Droid or a Galaxy, I keep telling people you can download the TuneIn app, TuneIn. It is free. And subscribe to the Danny Picard Show on the TuneIn app so you'll be able to listen each and every day. I broadcast 5 days a week. You can listen whenever you want. And yesterday on my podcast, I previewed week 11, so I'm not going to go into more of that today, but just a couple notes on the NFL here on this Thursday afternoon as we get set to kick off week 11 tonight with Thursday Night Football. Sam Bradford, quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, in addition to his concussion he suffered over the weekend, he has also separated his left shoulder. You saw Mark Sanchez come into that game. Sam Bradford's going to be out now probably longer than we first thought because of now, on top of the concussion, the separated left shoulder. Now, it's a left shoulder. It's important. It's not his throwing shoulder. So he probably won't be out, definitely won't be out as long as he would be if he had separated his throwing shoulder. So just the left shoulder, but still, he will miss some time. Mark Sanchez will be the guy. So we'll keep an eye on that. Interesting, you know, that whole Sam Bradford, Nick Foles trade, that swap. Foles is getting benched for Case Keenum this weekend for St. Louis, and Sam Bradford is going to miss time. I mean, you could have put your money. You don't want to see someone get hurt, obviously. I'm not sitting there rooting for anybody to get hurt. But you could have put your money on Sam Bradford missing time this season with an injury. It's death, taxes, and a Sam Bradford injury during the season. That's why I didn't necessarily like this move that the Eagles made to bring in Sam Bradford. And even though Mark Sanchez, he threw a late interception, right, in that game over the weekend, I still think that Sanchez is going to put this Eagles team in position to win. And I'm outside of the injuries to Sam Bradford and the injury history, if you've listened to the show, you know how I feel about it. I still think talent-wise, and I'm not trying to put Mark Sanchez in this category of quarterbacks that I would want for my team, but if you had to line them up against the wall, Sam Bradford, a healthy Sam Bradford, and a healthy Mark Sanchez, and you would say, take one of these two quarterbacks to be your quarterback, I'm going to take Mark Sanchez. College football has nothing to do with the way I look at Sam Bradford. I've watched him play in the NFL, and when he's healthy, I'm sorry, to me, he is just not an NFL caliber quarterback that I want under center for my football team. So I am going to go with Mark Sanchez. If you made me pick one of those two off a wall, if you lined them up against the wall and made me pick one of those two quarterbacks for one game, so when I look at the Bradford injury, I don't necessarily look at it and think that Philadelphia should be really unhappy with this. Of course, you don't want to see someone get hurt. But just talent-wise and just sort of going into who's a better quarterback? Who gives you a better chance to win? Certainly it looked like Bradford at times was getting used to the system that Philly was running. But I mean, look, Sanchez was there last year. And I actually think, looking at the talent, that Sanchez gives the Eagles a better chance to win. We'll see. We'll see. But they're in a division that they have a chance to win, right? With the Giants in first place in that division at 5-5 and the Eagles at 4-5. I certainly do think that the Eagles, you know, with their next game going to be against Tampa Bay and then at Detroit before they come to the Patriots, I don't see why, if you started Sanchez in these two games, I don't see why if you're Philadelphia, you couldn't win. You couldn't beat Tampa. You couldn't beat Detroit in Detroit. Of course you can, even with Mark Sanchez. So I do think that Philly could be looking at a 6-5 record going into that game against the Patriots that I don't expect Philly to win. And then you play Buffalo, then you play Arizona, then you play Washington and the Giants. I'd say that Arizona will probably win that Philly game. I'll give Buffalo a little bit of a chance, but I probably pick Philly to win. I think Philly can beat Washington, and I think Philly can beat the Giants. So you're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games that I think Philly should have a good chance to win moving forward, which would give them 9 wins. You know, is 9-7 going to win the NFC East? I think it could. I think it could. And I know yesterday I talked about the Dallas Cowboys. They're 2-7. Tony Romo's going to come back. But, you know, look, the chances aren't great. But I think with Romo back and looking at their schedule, they definitely have a chance in a division that it's not going to take, I don't think, more than 8 or 9 wins to win the division. I'm not going to rule Dallas out. I'm really not. I mean, you take it one game at a time and you see what happens. But you got Romo back now. And with Romo on the center, that is a completely different team. And given their schedule, look, they play Carolina and they play at Green Bay. But I'm telling you right now, Carolina's, I buy into Carolina. I think, you know, I love Cam Newton. You know, I love the Panthers defense. But if there's any of the two undefeated teams right now that are going to lose this season, it's going to be Carolina. And if Carolina's going to lose a game this season, watch out for that game in 2 weeks on November 26th, 4:30 kickoff. Dallas Cowboys hosting the Carolina Panthers. Tony Romo back. That could be one of Carolina's toughest games this season. I honestly believe so, because I think the Cowboys are a much different team. And then again, at Green Bay, I mean, look, Green Bay, we all like to talk about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers like this. They're a team that's not human and they can't be beat. But guess what? They've lost 3 straight. And last week, they lost at home against the Detroit fucking Lions. So, I mean, it can be done. You can go into Green Bay and win. They are human. They have proven that to us in the last 3 weeks. So, and the other teams on Dallas' schedule, at Miami, at Redskins, at the Jets, at home against the Jets, at Buffalo, at home against the Redskins again, I don't see why. That schedule doesn't scare me. If I'm a Cowboy fan, I'm not that scared of that schedule, especially knowing that Romo's back. And really, only knowing that Romo's back. That's the only reason I'm not scared of that schedule. So we'll keep an eye on it, but the NFC East is up for grabs, and just because Sam Bradford's going to miss some time, I don't look at it. If I'm an Eagle fan, I don't know that I'm devastated by the news. Again, don't want to see anyone get injured, but just talking about the quarterback that's coming in, I don't think I'd be devastated by the news that Sanchez is going to be a guy in a division that will be winnable if you can get, 8 or 9 wins this season, and I think that can be done if you look at Philly's schedule. So, keep an eye on that situation. And, of course, here in New England, it is Bills week. The Patriots host the Bills on Monday Night Football. Rex Ryan talked earlier. I'm all set with Rex Ryan press conferences. You know, if you listen to local radio here in Boston or the TV shows, they're going to be obsessed with it. I'm over it. I'm done with it. I really don't give a fuck. I don't care about Rex Ryan. It just doesn't. The storyline doesn't do it for me anymore. It doesn't. Rex can say what he wants. It doesn't even bother me. It doesn't affect me. Maybe you could say I'm drinking the Kool-Aid down in Foxborough. Do I sound like a player when I say that? Maybe. It's just, I roll my eyes. I yawn. There's nothing there anymore. There's the whole aspect of Rex Ryan just tries too hard, and I don't care. I honestly don't care about Rex Ryan enough to sit here and go on a rant about things that he says and pick apart things that he says and look for bulletin board material. I think the Patriots are past that. Look, I think the Patriots use bulletin board material behind the scenes better than anybody else in the National Football League. You know what? Better than anybody else in the history of sports. But guess what? I even think they're done using Rex Ryan stuff as bulletin board material. And I even think they laugh at Rex Ryan and any team that Rex Ryan coaches. I do. They already beat the Bills once. In fairness, I did. Look, I thought, you know, in fairness to the Bills, I actually gave them credit at the beginning of the season. I thought that would be a much tougher game for the Patriots. But you're the Patriots. You go into Buffalo and win. Later on in the season, even with the Patriots' injuries, I'm still not going to sit here and say Buffalo comes into Gillette and wins this game. If you were going to Buffalo right now with all the injuries that the Patriots have, okay, maybe you got something there. Maybe I think I would sit here and tell you that on in Buffalo divisional game, maybe the Bills can get a couple bounces going their way with the Patriots banged up. They can get a couple turnovers because their building's going to be loud. But I don't see that happening in Gillette. I don't. I really don't. I don't see it happening at Gillette. So it is Bills week. I'm on to Denver next week, but even Denver's banged up now, right? Peyton Manning. Peyton's going to play in that game in 2 weeks against the Patriots in Denver. So it's still going to be Sunday Night Football. I'm more jacked up about that game and the idea of the Patriots going to Denver in 2 weeks than I am this game on Monday Night Football with the Patriots and the Bills. So we got plenty of time to talk about that, but I will break down whatever I see, whatever parts of this Titans-Jacksonville game that I see. See, I'm going to watch the Bruins. But the NFL games go so long that I can watch the Bruins game beginning at 7 o'clock. And by the time that Bruins game is over, I can still see the second half of the football game. Are you going to need to watch the first half of Jaguars-Titans to get the story or the feel of the ball game? I don't think so. I really don't. So I'll watch the second half and I'll react to it tomorrow. And I will give my picks for the week, 5 games with this spread. But moving on to a couple other things in the NBA. Last night, I watched the Celtics lose to the Dallas Mavericks at the TD Garden after a great start by the Seas. And here's what hurt the Celtics last night. Look, they had a 9-point lead at the half. I think it was at the half last night. The Celtics led 54-45, right? 9-point lead. And the Celtics at one point early, I mean, for end of the first quarter, Celtics led 31-16. And it looked like they were going to run away with this game. Honestly, looked like they were going to run away with it. The problem with the Celtics at one point in this second half is, see, and I've seen this. This has been a character. This was a characteristic of this Celtics team last year. When the going got tough and a team began to go on a little bit of a run of their own. And, you know, maybe you could say this around the NBA with teams that are sort of not dominant teams. Like, the Celtics are a very good team this year. I told you, they're going to be much improved from their record last year, in which they only had 40 wins, finished 40-42, and were a 7th seed in the East. I told you the Celtics this year were going to win close to 50 games. They were going to be a 4 or a 5 seed in the East. The way they've begun the season, and looking at them, I mean, they could possibly be a 3 seed in the East, right? The way they've been playing. So I think the Celtics are a good team, but they're still not on that level of the Cavaliers. Like, they're not at that level like a San Antonio or a Golden State because they lack the superstar talent, okay? They do. So with the teams that are not on the level of those teams like San Antonio, like a Golden State, like a Cleveland Cavaliers, I know the Celtics just beat Oklahoma City, but they didn't have Durant. When Oklahoma City has Durant and Westbrook healthy, they're on that elite level as well, and those teams don't do what a team like the Celtics do, like the mediocre teams do, without that don't have the superstar talent to rely on to take over a game. What a team like the Celtics does, this was a characteristic they had last year, was when the going gets tough and the other team starts to go on a run, the Celtics, a team like the Celtics, they begin to, I don't want to say panic is the word, but they get away from what was working from them, and they try to force some things, and they stop moving the ball, and they stop driving to the basket. And you start doing that, all of a sudden the other team, You know, you're missing shots, you're turning the ball over, and the other team is going on the fast break. They're running the floor because they don't have to pull the ball out of the bottom of their basket, and that's when you lose the ball game. The Celtics, you could point out a couple things that happened very late in the final minute, like Jared Sullinger missing a layup, all right? Or just, I don't need Amir Johnson to take a three-point shot. Jared Sullinger does that sometimes, and I still sort of cringe when he does it because Sully is best when he's down underneath the basket, when he's grabbing rebounds, right? When he's out, just Mr. Clean, I call him, because he's just cleaning up everything down low. And it's almost, when he is on his game down in the paint, he's almost impossible to box out. He's almost impossible to beat to a loose ball and clean up an offensive rebound. I mean, that's where Sullinger's at his best. But he can't hit he's proven that he can't hit three-point shots. I still don't like him taking them, but I tell you what, I like him taking them a whole lot more than Amir Johnson taking them. I mean, when Amir Johnson takes a three-point shot, it just doesn't look right. Okay? It just, at least there's an aspect of Sully when he takes it that it doesn't look terrible. Maybe that's because we know he can hit him sometimes. I don't need Amir Johnson taking three-point shots. And Isaiah Thomas sometimes, you know, you'll have 12 seconds left in the shot clock. He forces up an off-balance jumper, an off-balance three, and I'm going, what are you doing? Move the ball, set a play, you still got time. You don't need to force this shot up. And in fact, Isaiah Thomas is at his best when he goes to the basket. He even showed you that last night at times in the first half. So, I mean, the Celtics, what happened was Dallas started roaring back. The Celtics don't have that superstar player to take over for him in a situation like that. And they started to get away from what was working. They stopped driving to the basket. They stopped moving the ball. They made some terrible decisions. You know, they threw up terrible shots with 15 seconds left on the shot clock. And they just, everybody was standing still. It was a characteristic of the team when the going got tough last year. And you saw it last night when the going got tough. They still, with that said, had a chance to win the ball game late. But it should have never even got to that point. Like, Dallas should have never even tied the game or took a lead. The Celtics just, they sort of lost this one on their own, I thought. And even late, you know, you could look at Isaiah Thomas in a two-point game in which he drives to the basket and there's a turnover, and that was it, right? All of a sudden, they have to foul. Dallas hits the free throws. Game over. But I don't necessarily know that it's Isaiah Thomas's fault in that specific spot where you can say he lost them the game on that drive. In fact, I was yelling, drive to the basket, drive to the basket. And that's what he did. So I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite. That's how I thought about the play at the time. And afterwards, I said, well, you know what? He was driving to the basket. He lost the basketball, but they should have never even been in that position if, as a team, you know, they continue to do the things. And here's another thing. You know, you got in that game last night. I need to see more than in that type of game. I'm saying to myself, I need David Lee to get more than 15 minutes. And I need David Lee in this game late. I do. I need him in this game late. And, like, Avery Bradley, he's doing a nice job off the bench. And he scored 18 off the bench last night in 31 minutes. I get that you want to put Marcus Smart in the starting lineup, 26 minutes. You're giving Evan Turner only 24 minutes. Evan Turner has proven this season, I think you got to give him 30. You got to find a way to give him 30. You have to. But, you know, there were some things with the rotation that I disagreed with. And I thought that David Lee, when the going got tough last night, I almost thought, I need David Lee down, you know, down low. I need his athleticism and his ability to maybe, you know, take a couple shots off the glass and dump it into the basket. But they were not going there. They were forcing up terrible shots. They were making bad decisions at, you know, real early when they would get the ball in the possession. They would not run down the shot clock, and they stopped going to the basket. And that's when they lost the game, in the second half, not just in the final minute, even when they had a chance to win the game. So the Celtics, look, they go up against, that was a very good Mavericks team. The Mavericks, even after the game, said, looked at the Celtics team, they said, oh, that's a playoff team over there. That's a playoff team, no question. And they're a much better playoff team than they were last year. And they're going to have a better seeding. But you lose to the Mavericks at home last night, and you learn from your mistakes. You know, I still think you look at a game like that, though, and you can say the Celtics, the piece that they're missing, and this isn't breaking news. This isn't something that you don't already know around the league or even here in Boston. The Celtics need some type of elite superstar player that they can rely on in those spots when the going gets tough. Bradley hit a couple big shots last night in those moments, but I still don't look at Avery Bradley and think that he's this superstar player that you can rely on all the time in those moments. So they got to go get that guy. How do they do it? They make a trade? Do they wait until hope that the Brooklyn draft pick is their guy? Maybe the kid Simmons? They have decisions to make. There will be players available, and you know who they are. You know, the DeMarcus Cousins of the world. The Kevin Durant's of the world. Maybe not during this season, but right after the season and a potential sign and trade. So the Celtics will have options to add that elite scorer, that guy, that top dog, superstar player. But it's what do they want to give up to get him? That's the question. And when do they make that happen? And do they actually not just go after one, but go after multiple superstar players? Like they've said, they've been open about it. They've been public. The Celtics have said, we have the ability to give two max contracts this coming summer. So we'll keep an eye on it. But last night, I thought when the going got tough was another example of this Celtics team needing that type of player. And right now, they just don't have it. So that's how I feel about the Celtics. The NHL, the Bruins tonight. Yesterday, I already told you about the new All-Star Game format in the National Hockey League. Go back and listen to yesterday's podcast in which, by the way, you know, I don't think enough is being made about the fact that we were able to squeeze in a Boys to Men song yesterday, a classic from Boys to Men. You know, I don't even know that we have to justify it. Just accept the fact that we did it and it fit and it was perfect, as I talked about and remembered David Ortiz and his, what I think, Hall of Fame career, as yesterday he made it official. He will retire. That's all on yesterday's podcast. Make sure you go back and subscribe. But to wrap up the show here today, Major League Baseball, the awards given out. Yesterday, they gave out the Cy Youngs. In the American League, Dallas Keuchel from the Houston Astros got the Cy Young, and Jake Arrieta from the National League, he wins the Cy Young for the NL. I don't disagree with either of those. So I think in the AL, you could have just as much as you gave it to Keuchel, you could have given it to Price. Or Sonny Gray. See, Sonny Gray missed some time in September, right? With a hip injury. So, but I think Price could have absolutely been a guy you could have given it to. But I don't disagree with giving it to Dallas Keuchel. Had a great season for Houston. Took him to the playoffs. And I think there's only good things to come for that Astros organization. So a good day for Keuchel. Good day for the Astros. Good day for Arrieta yesterday, winning the NL Cy Young. The MVPs of the American League and the National League will be given out tonight at 6 o'clock on this Thursday night. By the time you listen to this podcast, well, they might have already been given out, so I'll react to it tomorrow. My prediction would be Bryce Harper in the National League and Josh Donaldson in the American League, and I do think that's a lot of people feel that way too, right? But we'll see where they go with those awards, and I'll react tomorrow here 5 days a week. DannyPicard.com. Subscribe on iTunes. If you don't have an iPhone, subscribe on the TuneIn app, and follow me on Twitter at Danny Picard. Like me on Facebook, Facebook.com/TheDannyPicardShow. Also on Instagram at Danny Picard. And once again, special thanks to Dominic Cruz for stopping by, and also Kim Ring for helping set up the interview today in studio with UFC bantamweight Dominic Cruz, who gets his title shot. And once again, make sure you get tickets for this event Sunday, January 17th, right here in Boston at the TD Garden. It's on Fox Sports 1. But you can get them at 1-800-745-3000. That's the phone number to call, or go to Ticketmaster.com. Or even if you're in Boston, go to the TD Garden box office. Tickets go on sale tomorrow, Friday, November 20th. I am out. Talk to you tomorrow.